over.
Hey guys, Stone Face Films podcast right around the corner, but first I want to tell you about a very exciting thing that we're going to be doing very soon. As part of the Dublin Podcast Festival, the Stone Face Films podcast is going to be doing our first ever live show as part of the all-day podcast extravaganza on Sunday the 24th of September in the Workman's Club in Dublin. We are absolutely delighted and thrilled to be part of this amazing podcast festival, the first Dublin Podcast Festival put together by the inimitable Headstuff and Aiken Promotions. You can buy tickets on Ticketmaster, we'll have the link up on Twitter and Facebook. We're just one of five shows that are on that day, and you can buy tickets for each separate show, or you can buy a ticket for the whole day. It's going to be great. It's going to be really great. You're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really great, and we'll have a guest to announce for you very soon. So come along, laugh, I'm sure you'll learn some stuff, and just have a great time at the all-day podcast extravaganza on the 24th of September in the Workman's in Dublin. We look forward to seeing you there, and now on with the show.
Never mind that. I never did that.
As we've heard.
That's what I heard.
It's rumors.
Down on the window.
Heard, lads.
You would never commit a crime in your car, John.
No, certainly not. I am certainly not the law.
It's the as of yet untitled Stone Face Production Committee Hour podcast, maybe longer than an hour.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Stoneface Films podcast. I'm the like-bound bag of cats, John Hosier Byrne, and with me, as always, the co-host of the show and comedian who almost couldn't be here today because he was at Edinburgh. Do you want more than that? He was busy. Leave him alone. David Riley.
Hello, folks. Like-bound bag of cats is glorious.
There you go.
It's so glorious.
With us, as always, you heard his voice there momentarily. The Coco to our Crash. Been playing a lot of the HD remake lately. Mr. Rob O'Sullivan, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions.
Hello.
How you doing, Rob?
Good. Haven't played the new
it's the not remake. Bad, man.
We're talking about Cronenberg's Crash, right?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. Sexy Crash. Not racist Crash. There are two Crashes. How's it been? How's life? How's everyone?
Good. It was a Lecce picnic yesterday.
David's got a mouthful of porridge.
Yeah. Lecce picnic was all right, apart from stewards not knowing anything.
Right.
Pretty much. That's par for the course.
Yeah, we left around early, so we're like, we'll make it the midnight bus. It's great. We bailed.
Oh, that is the singular band that I would want to see.
They didn't play Reflex.
And I'm sure they must have played some of the other tunes.
You see it? Right.
And how would you know? They might have done that last.
That could have been because final, the artist final camping encore. Is next to the main stage, it's behind
right.
main stage, so we could still hear them.
Right, I've done that, yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've done that.
It was a calculated...
Yeah.
So they played Notorious, Wild Boys, View to a Kill, Hunger Like the Wolf, Ordinary World.
That's all you need.
They're the hits.
Rio, Girls on Film. We got all them.
Duran Duran have some fucking bangers.
Absolute
really
belters.
For a band that is as oft derived as it was.
A very interesting segue, though. They were like, you guys have your beers. I was like, way. You said your potatoes. A chips. You said your chips. You're hungry. Hungry like the...
He didn't. You've had your potatoes.
Have you had your beers? You had your potato chips? And then immediately clearly cop what he just said and trying to save it with chips. Me and Ryan Cullen looking at each other like, that didn't just happen.
Did he...
kept going.
Did the crowd respond to that?
There was like an inaudible like, huh, what? And then Hungry Like the Wolf started, Christ. So everyone was like, did it. It was fine. The stewards were like, oh, just keep following this road up. That's where you get the bus back to Dublin. We were sent in a 3-mile loop through a forest.
Right.
Had we gone right and walked for 10 minutes, we'd have been at the bus.
Right.
Security were like, just take this left and go, just keep following the road. I'm like, oh, okay.
Stewards are always shite. And by that, I'm talking about people named Stewart and a very specific Royal English house.
And, you know, the Lord of the Rings.
And yeah, what's his name?
Stuart of Gondor.
Stuart of Gondor, whose name escapes me?
Denethor.
Denethor,
well done.
Good pull.
What a pull. Well done.
Worst father ever.
Papa Faramir.
Yeah. But as someone who used to work security venues, I can attest that most of them are terrible.
And then I met a guard. I was like, guard, where are the buses? And he goes, up this way. Oh, grand. Stuart's telling us the other way. That's why you shouldn't ask Stuart. That's the guard. You weren't there, but yeah, this is what I'm... All right, stop.
The omnipresent guard.
Yeah.
You should have drawn a circle around you in the dirt.
Snack boxes and pints of milk around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Yeah, oh. And then just be the student.
And wait for
and a guard will appear, yeah. Just put a student on the ground with his hands up.
Just say you've
got a guard will appear.
Yeah.
Even those VIP cards for coppers, they'll just show right up.
Yeah. Not a bad shout, actually.
EP was good. Run the Jewels were great. Drown Drown were great.
Run the Jewels I wouldn't have mind seeing, because I believe they run the Jewels fast. That's my understanding.
That is exactly the speed that they go at.
Yeah.
Did you see Tribe Called Quest?
Nah. This is how my month's been. Best sleep I've had in the last month. Saturday night Electric Picnic. Bed by 11.
Oh, very good.
Bed by 11. 11 hour sleep.
For a man who doesn't drink or do anything, it's pretty good going.
It was like, oh, rain. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Tribe Called Quest. Yeah, they seemed okay.
Yeah.
I only know one song, I think.
New album's really good.
What is the Tribe Called Quest song?
Can you kick it? Yes, you can.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't a Tribe Called Quest. Was it? Are they from the 80s?
The early 90s.
Yeah, the early
really?
90s. And then they went
I thought
away
these
for
were
like
a new people
years.
Band.
No,
that's My Tribe, Your Tribe, My Tribe.
I like My Tribe, Your Tribe.
Yeah, what is it?
They're an Irish band. They're
He, She Tribes.
No. Because everyone was going mad for Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
Because they released a new album after about 20 years.
I see.
Yeah,
I
and
see.
Also they're breaking up in like 2 gigs time.
Oh, really?
That's yeah, because... Fife Dog, one of the three guys, died last year. Remember, there was an SNL episode where they were the musical guests and then a big Fife Dog banner popped down.
No, not at all, but I'll take your word for it.
Q-Tip.
My Tribe, Your Tribe, though.
I think they were playing.
Really? They're great. They've got some really good tunes. So we were working on a music video together for a while, and for a bunch of different reasons, it just didn't work out. But they had a couple of Ghost of You you should check out.
I wanna believe Ghost of You.
It's actually genuinely very good.
I was just thinking My Chemical Romance.
It's the D-Day landing video.
Yeah, that's also a good one. Yeah, it's a very good one, to be fair. Yeah, so I just wanted to do a D-Day landing video. They were like, there's too much going on. No, they're genuinely, I check them out, man. They're genuinely really strong. So, you just got back from Edinburgh. We're still waiting on our guest.
Yeah, he was also in Edinburgh. So I feel like talking about Edinburgh before he gets here could end up just there being a lot of overlap.
That's very fair.
Because I spent a lot of it with him.
That's very fair. So we'll go over to the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan. Rob, how's your week been?
Grant.
It's been 2 weeks. We didn't record last week.
We didn't. I've basically spent the last week just playing Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh,
and it's been pretty
in
great.
Anticipation for the upcoming sequel.
I'm so excited for it.
It looks good, man.
It's really good.
The point buying system to play as Jedi and vehicles and stuff makes a lot more sense than the just be the dude who grabs it first.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. It's spanning the three different eras, so...
Can I make a point of something that I don't like in the design of it?
Mm.
Is that while it spans the three different eras, the heroes, certainly from what I've seen, or the playable demos they put out in Gamescom and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, the heroes are spanning all of them.
So you'll have Darth Maul fighting against Rey.
Yeah, in like Clone Wars era Theed.
Yeah.
So.
That to me, the way they used to do it in the old Battlefronts before it got diced, which I use the term advisedly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Before it got EA'd, was that if you were playing in Theed, say in Naboo,
you'd have
your bad guy choice would be Darth Maul, and your good guy choice would be young Obi-Wan Kenobi or Qui-Gon Jinn. You know what I mean? That would be the options that you have, and that to me makes a lot more sense than Lash and Rey in Naboo's trade disputes.
See, I think because that was the only level that was available for Gamescom, I think they may have just
I totally hope so.
Because Han Solo's in there as well, so it could have been just we're showing off these are the ones that we have.
Yeah. Look at this. Don't we have all these things? And I hope that's true, because that would be infinitely preferable than having Rey.
But in like the James Bond games, in like Nightfire, it's always great fun if you're running around as Jaws trying to punch the head off Oddjob.
Yeah, no, I hear you, but I think James Bond lives in its own rarefied universe where time doesn't exist. Like
it's a good point. Luke isn't being played by a different actor in every Star Wars.
Exactly, exactly correct. Yeah, like they're doing their own thing timeline wise with James Bond, which we've talked about many times on the show, and I have my disagreements with also.
Yeah.
But yeah,
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the Fighter Squadron thing most of all, because that's my favorite bit of...
Force Friday happened as well?
It did.
That's the thing that you know
about. I was very broke, but I got an old man Luke Skywalker pop vinyl. And
did you really?
I'm very happy with it.
But did you go in on the Midnight Boy?
No. I went in on Friday, on the afternoon.
Oh, right.
Just had a quick wander around, had a look.
Yeah.
No, not a huge amount of stuff. But
what are those little seal creatures?
The porgs.
Yeah, everyone seems to be enjoying them.
Basically, I think when they were there, they saw the puffins, and they were like, we need something cute, because puffins all over Skelly Michaels.
Yeah. Could have just used the puffins.
Yeah.
Space puffins.
Trademarked a different name. It's little puffin figures.
Just give them a little, little eye piece, like a little tech eye piece.
Like Vegeta.
Yeah, exactly. Like the judging power levels.
Yeah.
That would have worked.
It's so good. When is Star Wars out?
The 15th of December.
I love that you don't have to Google. We can just ask Rob.
Yeah,
handy.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
When's Rogue 2 coming out?
I don't think there will be a Rogue 2.
Well, that's a shame.
Are you hoping for some inside scoop there?
Yeah.
The Han Solo movie looks like trash, like garbage.
Yeah, it's not been through. It's been through the wars.
And the whole thing of those two lads, what are they called? What are
Lego?
They
called?
Lego Lord Miller.
And
Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yeah, who did Jump Street and...
Yeah. Lego movie.
Like, if anyone could have... Like they were given the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street. If anyone could make a shitty property work...
Yeah.
Like a shitty idea for a film work, like the Han Solo prequel. Yeah. It was those boys. So that's a real shame. But going back to...
Did they get sacked or quit?
They got sacked.
Yeah, they got sacked. The usual kind of creative differences got... Apparently Luke's film weren't happy with the direction they were taking it, so...
I heard Disney.
Oh, was it Disney?
Disney weren't happy.
Oh, okay.
And Disney gets what they want. Yeah.
So who's looking after it now?
Ron Howard.
So, yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I hope he just narrates it. He's so funny.
Luke, you've turned off your targeting computer. I'm all right. He wasn't all right.
He had a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Han Solo, Danji wa Gandhi Nananuchke. Ganji and Anushka.
Onion pops up.
Dear, oh dear, we're going.
Onion.
Hokey religions. It was not a hokey religion.
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh, Jesus.
What an interesting get, though.
Yeah, it's an odd one. I'd say they just drove a bucket of money up to his house. But sure, look, I like Ron Howard. He does some good work.
Yeah.
Apollo 13. Etc.
Vinci Code.
That's a rough one, yeah.
Devil's Inferno.
I never saw it.
The next one, Agents and Demons.
Shite, never saw it. Shite, never saw it.
Oh, no, I did see it. It was terrible. The thing is, though, they were most of the way through principal photography before.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's my understanding.
I'm just wondering how it's going
to turn out.
Grand
Theft Auto.
No.
He's in it.
What?
The movie Grand Theft Auto.
Hold on. There's a movie called Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, from the
80s.
Oh, I see.
And the game then took its logo.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest fresh from Edinburgh, where he was Edinburghing up and down.
Fresh from my effing bed, John.
No, I was up. Mr. Connor O'Toole, how you doing, Connor?
Good. I should warn you, I'm not wearing a belt and my jumper's on backwards, but I got here. You should have seen the cycle on the way here. Oh my god!
Furious.
I fucking nailed it. It would have been like a B plus in one of your video games, John.
I'm sure it would have, and that is how video games traditionally give out feedback.
Do you know doing the Mr. Bean episode where he has to try to get a sofa home?
Uh huh.
And he puts it on top of his mini.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picturing. when he's running late to the dentist and he's washing his teeth with the water shooting out of the bonnet.
Uh-huh.
I'm imagining you trying to put your jumper on the right way around while cycling.
You have to guess
your belts
how many...
come off.
Yeah, Seamus Hanley's in my house, so I had to put on these wet trousers instead of my actual good trousers, which were downstairs where he was. I didn't want him to see my, you know.
So firstly, you have two pairs of trousers.
One wet, one dry.
This is a hole in it. Do you guys wash your teeth before you go to the dentist?
Yeah.
I feel like that's cheating. I feel like I show up to the dentist and I'm like, look, I have washed my teeth, but I want you to know that I'm not trying to fucking pull the wool over your eyes. Yeah. I don't usually brush
like
it 10 past 1.
That's like saying you drive to your driving test. Like, yeah.
But right. You know, when you're in confessions and you lie about the last time you were in confessions, it's that.
It was a month, maybe?
Yeah. You go in there knowing they're going to be condescending.
Yeah, but I feel like I want the most honest, you know.
You're a better man than that.
Are you going to the dentist after this?
No, no, I've just been to the dentist. Just,
your just mind is swimming with dentist questions, questions.
There was a reason I got into this. It was something to do with...
I mentioned Mr. Bean washing his teeth on the way to the
dentist.
That's
the one, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a Segway, wasn't it? Oh, no, it was a Mini.
Hey, yeah.
Oh. Here we go.
How many red lights do you reckon you broke on cycling down the way down here?
Max 3. Like, really not that bad.
You fucking hate cyclists, man. You fucking hate them.
There's 3 sets on O'Connell Street.
I took a longer route that has more lights.
I don't know. There's like 4 sets. Perfect. There's like 4 sets of lights between your house and here.
Yeah. No, I actually. No, I don't think I did. I think actually, I maybe took an illegal left turn, which on a bike is basically not even a crime. You know.
basically not. Yeah. A crime.
Hop off the bike.
I think
walk
that was it.
The path
I think that was it. But honestly, that's yeah. But that's just. I mean, you're kidding yourself if you think that's different to cycling around a corner, like. Yeah.
To be fair, I've taken a lot of no left turns in my day in automobiles.
I've been in the car when John's pulling Yui on O'Connell Street. Jesus Christ. Singing, I am not the law.
I've been in John's car while his tires have exploded on motorways. So.
And then, if you remember, I changed the tire.
Yeah.
And then I threw the exploded tire by the side of the road and then just left it there.
Yeah.
Even though it had a full wheel in it. Uh-huh. And you're meant to keep the wheel, you know?
Yeah.
So you just put the tire back onto it.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't think of it. Just threw it on the side of the road and drove away.
I feel like I said that to you at the time, but you were like, nah, but throwing a tire into a ditch, oh, such a satisfying maneuver.
Every possibility.
Climbing into the ditch to achieve it.
At that point, honestly, at the weekend, the tire had become a metaphor for our own mental state, and so throwing it away was kind of more a ritual than anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It was a free
big weekend. It was a big weekend.
The end of the L rope.
It was a newspaper related weekend.
No, that was when we were doing
a different weekend
documentary.
Oh, anyway. We were traveling around.
Speaking of newspapers, actually, right? I hear now.
I haven't read the papers this morning, now, so don't.
I was going to ask you your opinions on the Brexit negotiations, but I guess we'll fly straight past
it. Yeah, thanks.
I hear you are basing, you're doing an Edinburgh show, supposedly entirely about me. In the style of me.
I'm doing it in Dublin, but I guess it's an Edinburgh show.
Sorry. You're Dublin, is it the Dublin Fringe? Which one are you
for? Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a kind of role play of all the different newspapers I've worked at over the years. Including the one where I worked with you.
So tell us, give us the pitch, explain to the listener. What
so the audience comes into an office space. It's my flat. The office comes into an office. They sit down. There's 12 of them there. They've got an hour to get the paper out. It's got to be printed in an hour's time. We got nothing. We got nothing, John. We got nothing. And we get it done in the hour. That's
great. So what do? You have people come up with story ideas?
Yeah.
And do they have to write the articles, or is it a lot of bit of Laura Ipsum in there?
No. It's all going to be written. So it's like, you know, they got to get a big lead story, got to get your controversial article with a bad opinion in there.
Right.
See if you can find someone with a bad opinion at every show.
That's great.
People are going to be really willing to put those out there when there's only 10 or 12 people.
I'll get them out. Got to get some cute photos of animals.
Right.
I mean, it's not like... I mean, when we worked at that college newspaper, it was you know, our standards were pretty high, you know? Mm-hmm. We were kind of competing. It was like Washington Post, us, and The Guardian. Like, they were the
big three
that year. And I feel like this is more like a kind of newspaper where you get, like, free on a train, like some random more person hands them to you, like, here you go. And like,
I know you say that as a joke, but we set unrealistically high standards for ourselves.
From what
we
I really understand, did. Have yet to be met by any preceding year.
We worked hard on it, man. I know, to be fair, the year after
Kevin
us, which,
and Killian,
yeah, you won Newspaper of the Year.
That was the year after the year after us.
Oh, sorry, the year after the year after you.
Oh, yeah,
it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Other guests of
when
the
you
show,
came
Emer
on
was.
To, yeah, Emer Suguru was the editor. Yeah. The next year, but then the year following, you went back to the paper, designed that paper again with Killian and Kevin. And won Newspaper of the Year at Smedius, which
did.
Is
One newspaper of the year at the Smedia's with three different newspapers.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
Observer, University Times.
Trinity News, Puzzles Editor, 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Totally counts. You've got those three.
I was on staff.
Three glass orbs on the masthead.
That's good. Did you give yourself the title Puzzles Editor?
No, but they did create it for me, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What brought you to the University Times from the college news?
That sweet Puzzles Editor money.
I mean, literally, pretty much, they went, we'll give you the job Puzzles Editor. And I was like, yeah, go on. Sold, I've jumped ship.
Do you watch any Only Connect by any chance?
See any Omni Connect?
Only Connect.
No.
Man, I've gotten really, really into Only Connect.
Such a good show.
Is it like a TV version show of Connect 4?
It is not at all. It's like, but you know you can do, you know the walls in Only Connect?
It's online, isn't it?
Yeah, you can do them online.
Oh, cool.
So I've been spending all of my time, it's basically you're given... With the walls and the Only Connect as a show is like, here are four things. What is the connection between them?
Oh,
and they'll
okay,
appear one
so.
After the other after the other.
Yeah, and then
the second round is, here are three things. What is the fourth in the sequence? But it'll be like, here's the first thing, and then you say next, and it'll give you the second thing, right? And you get more points if you do it, like, you get five points if you do it after one clue, right? But yeah, on then there's the wall round, which are 16 things. In four sets of four, and you have to find the connections between them. But there's like a bunch of them are red herrings, or there'll be a bunch of ones that fit into different ones, and there's only one perfect solution. And you can play them online, and I have become entirely obsessed with it. I love it so much. It's really, really good. Just on the chat of puzzles, on puzzle chat.
Yeah.
You should check it out, man. I think you'd really enjoy it.
Cool.
It's fantastic.
Not that into puzzles, really, but...
the puzzle editor.
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a whirl.
Yeah, give it a lash. It's really good fun.
So the Dublin Correspondent, do you believe it's the newspaper title?
That's it, Correspondent.
Is going to be more of a Ryan Cullen era college Tribune standard.
I mean, I'm going to try and avoid that happening.
We're talking...
Forgot about that.
Yeah, he
forgot about that whole thing.
Yeah, he was the editor of the rival paper.
For people who weren't in UCD...
our guests just seemed to all come out of a college newspaper.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, me and John ran a newspaper... John was the editor of a newspaper that I laid out.
Designer, sure.
You actually went to UCD as well. I just came in for the sweet numbers. Give me those checks, baby.
The numbers just, being...
Giselle, where's my check?
Six across and seven down.
Oh, Giselle.
I emailed Giselle about a month ago to try and get a P45, and she was like, I don't work there. I think they were like, Giselle doesn't work here anymore.
Because I haven't worked there in years.
Yeah, I know. Still seemingly technically the last place I was employed. my accountant's going to be on me about this podcast. He's going to get it taken down.
God almighty.
I don't know. We have a big listener.
I don't know.
Put in revenue.
Works. Yeah.
I hope not.
Imagine. Me and John worked in a newspaper with Kate Rothwell, who I saw last week Edinburgh. She
really?
Came to Edinburgh. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Good for her. She's in Zurich based these days.
That would make a lot of sense, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Switzerland.
We put out a paper, like once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Paper? And,
Such
confidence.
Yeah, but the rival paper at UCD was also run by a comic.
Ryan Cullen.
Ryan Cullen.
Yeah, well known to the listener.
Oh, yeah?
It's a fan fave.
Fan fave?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
We had a lot of...
How do I attain fan fave status? I'll do that.
Come on, a few more times.
Don't know.
Ryan always has just insane stories.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me think about insane stories. I saw a dog chase a deer through a forest yesterday.
I mean, the addition of yesterday adds a lot to that story, like the prescience of it.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was in the mist. It was very dramatic. If
that was
there,
your craziest ever story.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's supposed to be something else that's interesting that's happened. I walked over a load of piss on the way here this afternoon.
Take your cycles. Get your story straight.
I did, but I had to walk from the bike to the undisclosed location in the city centre.
Stag's Head.
You might call it the Stag's Head.
Code name, Stag's Head. Regular name, also Stag's Head.
We may call it the Stag's Head, as do the Registrar of Business Names.
But yeah, no, it wouldn't be hard to get higher standard than Ryan Cullen's Tribune.
And he'd be the first to admit that.
He at one stage ran an ad for African slave children in his newspaper.
What?
Yeah, do you remember that?
No, I have a very bad memory.
They couldn't get all their ad space sold sometimes, so they just make ads up.
Oh, jeez. It did look like a lot more fun running a tabloid to running our hard-hitting broadsheet.
It was in their satire page.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair. But for all the world, you could be flicking through it and see a giant ad for African babies.
There was...
Remember that ad for like roofing that
Yeah, don't talk to me. Glad never paid.
What a palaver.
Oh, I fucking...
What a palaver.
Crushing skull, so I was. He was some cunt.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we even pursued him legally. And the man was a ghost. he was the ethereal roofer. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's annoying because I actually wanted some roofing off him, but
he just still booked him for a job.
Yeah, it's
I've got a roof to fix. It's the student center in UCD. Care of.
It's not like because I courted a lot of companies.
Yeah,
to try
you had
to
like cold calls, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a lot of work over the summer getting advertising stuff, and he was just some dude who got like, "Do you do advertisements?" It's like, yeah. It's like, oh, really, I do it by an ad from a roofing company. I'm like, all right, yeah. There we go. Do this design. I think you designed him a little logo.
Yeah,
for
I did.
Yellow and black, if I remember.
Yeah, sounds like me.
And we printed it, and then the man was a ghost. Yeah. The man disappeared off the face
what
of the earth.
What a funny prank call.
It might have been Ryan Cullen.
I literally just came into my head. That was so funny.
That might have been Ryan Cullen. That prick.
I'll ask him about that tomorrow.
I'd say it wasn't easy.
Yeah. I got to sell ad space on the back of the Dublin Correspondent, John, if you're looking for...
I was going to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
If I bought you a printer cartridge, how much ad space would that get me?
Get you a lot of ad space. Pretty considering I was going to give you for free in the first place, but yeah.
God damn it. I'm the worst salesman.
I was going to be like, if you guys buy me a printer cartridge, I will give you some ad space. I don't know how much paper or print or I'm going to go through. Right. Over this, because I'm doing like what 15 issues of the paper.
12.
Like,
what size are you printing them?
A4.
A4.
Mm-hmm. Right. Berliner A4.
Berliner A4. Uh-huh. So you're folding it. A5.
Yeah. It's gonna be a shallow sheet.
What's the GSM on those bad boys?
It's gonna be a pretty heavy GSM, John. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh, really?
It's gonna be a bit heavier than it should be for newspaper print.
Like a 200.
No. Come on, David.
You'd build your house out of it.
Yeah. No. It's gonna be
my Edinburgh flyers were like 300.
It's probably gonna be 70 to 90 if I'm
right.
Yeah.
But I prefer it to be in around the 50 to 30 range.
What's a newspaper? Like 15? Like, 30-ish.
Pretty goddamn low.
Yeah.
Pretty low.
Yeah. Anyway, because
if you want more hot newspaper formatting banter, see Deadline. Every day from the 9th to the 20th.
Oh, is Deadline is the name of the show?
Yeah.
Great. That's a good name.
My favorite poster I've seen all year.
Oh, thank you very much. Tickets are selling quite well as well because there's fuck all of them, so that's handy.
How many shows are you putting on?
15.
15, so 15 times 12, like that many. I'm trying to think of what your print run's going to be.
Well, I'm going to print out like that for the people who are there. I'm going to print, they're all going to get a copy, and then I'm also going to distribute it around the city to some undisclosed locations. So probably like...
Stag's Head.
Probably like the Fringe box office and maybe one or two other venues if I'm arsed.
Do you remember the paper whenever Thursday would come in?
Remember how I didn't come in that day, John?
Yeah, you never came in for the drops.
No. Why? Why would I?
You'd have to lift things. It was not having it.
Yeah. I was paid to be there 3 days in Fortnite.
Just cycle around. Throw them out of your bag.
Yeah, that'd be good. Oh.
And then,
I could even just keep them in my basket and the wind will naturally distribute them as it wants. Littering.
Yeah. But you could throw it and have
There's
it on a
very,
string.
Very subtle distinction between what he's doing and littering.
Yeah. I feel like throwing them is more littering than them flapping
if you
out
have
of
them
my
on a string. You can then bring it back.
Listening.
So you'll have it on a like a you'll have the.
So this is like a prank, but you're expecting someone to chase after this homemade A4 newspaper.
No, like an maybe elastic.
So people like read it
like a newspaper boy.
Yeah. Okay. Right, that seems really dangerous.
It's more environmental marketing thing. More I called Dublin Bus the other day. You'll enjoy this.
Yeah.
I called Dublin Bus asking how much it costs to advertise on the side of a bus.
Yeah.
Get away, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much?
A lot.
I would actually, could we take bets on it? Do you want to see?
Because I was like, the show's called Double Decker Bus. Mm-hmm. It'd be funny to get an ad on a bus.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I would say it is, okay, 500 quid a week.
They sell them in,
I would say,
fortnights.
Sell them in fortnights.
I would say $3,000.
For inside or outside?
Outside.
Oh, outside, like on the side of the thing?
So I have the prices for the side of a bus for 20. Okay. 20 buses.
Oh, 20 buses for a fortnight. Okay, let me do that, Max.
$3,000.
$10,000.
No, I think it's going to be $20,000.
Five and a half.
That's very good. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, but you wouldn't do it, like.
No, but I mean.
Considering you went 20.
Just give it share on Facebook. 20 buses. Twitter, you'd be grand.
Boost a post for 20 quid.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then the A2, the inside one, you know, the bus is like...
The one that always... I'm saying this is going to be fierce low because I was just about to say religious groups always take
that's
this
what
one.
I was thinking.
So I'd say it'll be for pittance.
Right, so 50 on 50 buses for 2 weeks, A2.
1,500.
1,100.
1,100.
Or 100 buses is 17. And he says, how do those sound? I was like, how much is one? And he said, what? Nobody'd see it. That bus might not even be driven over those 2 weeks. That's not the problem. I said, I just want one. It's an absolute novelty thing. It's like 50 is the minimum. I was like, okay.
50 buses, 2 weeks for 1,100 quid?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I have nothing to base it off, you see. So I'm like, one is 36. That's just based on the maths.
Mm. Well, like those half billboards are like 7 quid a week.
Oh, yeah.
For one.
Is ours up?
They should be up now, yeah. They're like they're 12.
These are the green ones that you had a poster on before, right? The ones just around Dublin?
We basically bought like a couple of four sheets and just put four posters on them.
It's great, man.
I haven't seen them around. There's allegedly 9 of them. So who knows?
But yeah, Dublin Bus Crowd, they print them for you, obviously, because there's a printer for side of bus shape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very specific T shapes.
Yeah, yeah, very right. So what I might do is I might just. They told me it's A2. I thought it was only A3. He said it was A2. I might just print up an A2 poster, and then with an accomplice, put it up on the bus sometime.
Yeah.
And then just take the photo because it's the photo of the poster on a bus.
Is what you want.
Would do more.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'd offer online to help you, but I don't want to get on a bus.
That's what I was. Yeah. I was impressed that you knew it was the religious groups because I'm like, John has been on a bus in the last while.
They've been
for ages. The same exact fucking
black and white. Well, black Jesus and white. Said to John on the hill.
What think he about Jesus?
That's always during Lent because it's for Easter.
That's
a very strange little country we live in, lads. Very strange.
Aiden Green made a good point, though. He's like, fuck the bus ads. You got to rap a Lewis. So that's the next thing I want to get a quote on. Just to see. Just see what a quote on.
Go for it.
Hey guys, the show will be back momentarily. I just want to take this ad break to tell you once again that we are doing a live show, our first ever live show, as part of the first ever Dublin Podcast Festival put together by the inimitable Headstuff and Aiken Promotions. We're doing the show live on Sunday the 24th of September in the Workman's Club in Dublin, and I'm super excited for it. You can buy tickets for this all-day podcast extravaganza over on Ticketmaster. We'll have the link on Twitter and Facebook, and I'd recommend coming for the whole day. We're just one of five shows that's going to be, it's going to be really, really good. It's going to be funny. It's going to be informative. It's going to be great. And you're going to have a really good time. And sure, what else would you be doing on a Sunday? So yeah, we'll have a guest announced soon and it's going to be great. So come along to the All Day Podcast Extravaganza on the 24th of September. The Workmans, look forward to seeing you there. And we'll just get back to the show.
I don't think of news out for you guys.
You got a nice green shirt in the last day of Edinburgh.
Oh man, that shirt was so good.
Yeah.
It got a thermal like
shirt. It's got like a honeycombing meshing thing on it, doesn't it?
I was never too warm or too cold. All day long, which is incredible in Edinburgh.
And the trousers allow you to flit effortlessly from dry to wet.
Your binary trouser
options.
You're
flying.
If only someone had a belt.
Yeah, look.
This would be your year.
I'm going to have to sit here all day now.
Some straight crack to the drivers behind you as you speed through red lights.
Yeah. Like a baby in a Christmas cartoon in the 30s, its arse just hanging out of a flap.
Did you ever see the Arsecrack Grand Prix, the Magic the Gathering thing?
No. Oh,
yeah. There's some lad on Reddit.
Oh, he's standing around with his hands praying together.
He
got banned from Magic tournaments.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think he's only recently been allowed back, but he got banned.
What was it called? The Arse?
It was like, I can't remember what it was like Arsecrack Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Just go Magic the Gathering Arsecrack or Arsecrack, you'll definitely find it.
Yeah. It's really funny.
One lad who went around a big Magic the Gathering tournament, taking photos.
Squatting behind people with his hands in a prayer motion just beside them.
Yeah.
It's glorious. It's
amazing. Do you ever play backgammon, John?
With you, yes.
Yeah, so good.
So in Edinburgh, there's some phrases you hear every day, right. Just thousands of times. Right?
And is one of them free comedy
stuff like, you know, a free comedy show, 5-star improv comedy, you know, award-winning British blah 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 theatre, just all these pitches. And then, do you ever play backgammon?
Yeah,
just would always be there, always be there.
We played backgammon before, Connor.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah,
I've been trying to find players. I'm fine now. I'm back in Dublin, where there's a few grandmasters, but
a few serious players,
a few people who can give me a bit of fun.
Yeah,
Oisin bet you in his first game, didn't he?
Yeah, he beats me on the first game. So you get them hooked.
The Paul Newman of backgammon.
God damn! You didn't see. Speaking of hustles. Connor, this will mean nothing to you, so I apologize.
It's going to be football day.
Shoot it.
You're right. Congratulations. So, I don't know if you've seen my team since you left the country.
I have, from a fuming distance.
From a fuming distance. I've got what can only be described as a deeply sexual set of 13, 14 men.
Yeah.
But you see, I got a Rashford off Calva.
That blew my mind that he agreed to it a year later. Oh my God.
For Rondon, well known as West Brom's striker.
Right. West Brom are a joke team.
They are a joke team. Irish Rashford plays for Manchester United.
They're the best team in the world.
They're second best, sure, certainly. No, but
they won the treble. They won the treble.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
sure, it was 1999.
Yeah.
Sure. One of those players is still playing.
Really?
Who's still playing?
John O'Shea.
Not with United, though, surely.
No.
Right, okay.
Wes Brown only retired last year.
What actually happened there, and I feel okay to say it now, I feel like the statute of limitations has gone off, was Calvo was around playing Mario Kart, right?
Oh, you crafty demon.
And he kept, before we even started playing, he kept saying, here's the bet, yeah, here's the bet, because Calvo loves a bet, like former guest of the show, Calvo Doherty.
And then welching on it.
And then welching on it, yeah, because I won a bet with him.
Yeah, known welcher, last year.
Last year for Rashford, and he wouldn't take the bet, he wouldn't honour the bet, right? So he kept saying, like, all right, listen, I'll give you a bet, whoever wins this race gets to make one trade of their design, whatever they want, and can't tell the rest of the group why that trade happened.
Oh, wow.
So the idea just being that he reckoned he'd win and give me fucking Dawson for Salah or Mane or one of these good players, right? So he kept hockeying me over and over and over again, and I wouldn't take the bet. Like, I wouldn't take the bet, like, you know, before. And then it just started on Wario Mountain. Downhill snowy level.
Oh, now you speak my language.
Yeah, and I was like, here, Calva, I'll take that bet, yeah? He went, yeah, of course, yeah. And played it, and I'm quite handy at that level.
Yeah.
And
a straight hustle.
Straight hustled on the. It was the last one of the cup.
Nice.
And got it. And then he, to be fair to him, he honoured the bet. He gave us Rashford for a run.
I saw that go through and was like, what has happened?
Yeah.
Like, this is how bad or like poor sportsmanship Calva has. At Andrew's birthday last year, Calvo was approaching like Killian, Donna, and myself, and just been like, if John ever was it? No, it was Killian he wanted. It was
Deanie.
He wanted Deanie.
Troy Deanie off Killian.
He's one of the three of us about Killian having Deanie. He's like, just saying, if Killian ever leaves his laptop open, I'll give you money. I got paid.
He's all a fucking
so
demon.
Sneaky.
Like, this is a doctor, by the way.
What?
This is a person with a doctorate. Okay.
Like, the one of the loveliest people you could meet. But just when it comes to competitive fantasy sports,
oh my God,
it's fucking knuckles are on.
Oh
like,
my
it's
God.
Been great. Actually, I've been hanging out with Calvo loads. Like, it's been a real
Don't
pleasure.
Think I've
it's
met
been lovely.
Him,
Calvo Doherty, redheaded lad. You have met him. Okay. You definitely have met him.
cut that out of the podcast. No, I don't.
But he's a good lad. He's a lovely lad.
Just don't tell him about it.
He's a gent. He's a gent. He kept, yeah. Gave us a bottle of Kilbeggan whiskey the other day. Oof. For nothing.
Nice.
Just for sitting around. Anyway, top lad.
I was in Wicklow yesterday, John.
Get away. What were you doing down in Wicklow?
Me and Rachel and Dermot O'Brien and Deirdre Sullivan were all gone on a bit of a road trip.
That's great. Where'd you go?
We went to... We just kind of drove. Dermot was like, let's go to the Sally Gap. We went there. And
it's a beautiful part of the world,
like,
man.
This is ultimately just a crossroads, so... Mm-hmm. Then we ended up going to... I was like, why don't we go to that waterfall?
Did you go to the nice part of the Sally Gap with the bridge and the ruined building?
No, no.
There's one very nice vista in the Sally Gap.
Cool.
Yeah.
We were very much just larking around, seeing what we could find. But we went to... I always want to call it Glendalough, but not Glendalough.
Paris Court,
yeah, Paris Court Waterfall. And we drove to the place on the maps that said that's where it was. And, of course, that's like £6 to see the bottom of the waterfall. It's like, no, thank you. And so we drove around a road that seemed like it was near where the top of the waterfall was. We just went for a wander in there. Didn't get killed. It was very fun. It was good. Didn't see the waterfall either, but you know.
Trick when you're going through Paris Court, yeah. Just say you're going to the main house and then just turn left and go down to the waterfall.
Great.
Of course.
Doesn't cost you a penny.
Of course. Yeah.
There you go.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Never mind that. I never did that.
As we've heard.
Heard.
That's what I heard.
It's rumors.
Down on the window.
Heard, lads.
You would never commit a crime in your car, John.
No, certainly not. I am certainly not the law.
How have you been? Any news with you?
What have I
been you're running the Wicklow Film Festival, I hear.
I am running the
Wicklow
Film
Festival. You've got fucking Sanctuary in there. That was a great film.
Yeah, yeah.
You seen it?
We've got the
Is
director.
That the Tom Holland one?
No, that's Pilgrimage. We've got the director and the writer of the film coming down to discuss it afterwards.
That's great.
In fact, let's talk about the Wicklow Film Festival for a second.
What is Sanctuary? What have you got?
Sanctuary is about... about people with mental disabilities and the rights society does not grant them is the best way of describing
it. But it's also a kind of gas comedy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was going to ask, was it the crack comedy that...
Shot and Bray,
yeah.
But yeah, so we've got the writer and director for that. Sanctuary, which is a beautiful film. We're opening on the Friday with Machines by Rahul Jain, which is this... I think you'd like this one, Connor. Actually, you could make an argument that it visually owes something to like a Koyaanisqatsi Sequatsi or a Bakar or a Samsara or a or going all the way back to 1927 Symphony of a City, you know, Berlin Symphony of a City, where you're just watching the human animal as part of a wider machine, and it's a documentary shot in Gujarat, India, and I apologize to anyone who lives in Gujarat for mispronouncing it. But it's this huge labyrinthine textile factory, pre-industrial sort of textile factory, and you're just watching these human beings at work within this dragging, you know, big vats of dye around by hand.
Wow.
It's really in the manner of a Samsara coin and squatsy, it's really hypnotic, right?
Is it presented without narration?
So it's largely just the noises, the rhythmic noises of the
glorious
of the
that sounds great
of the factory, with occasional interviews with the workers, but largely dialogue free, and it's really, really beautiful, and it really forces the viewer to really consider the role of the first world in, you know, and the consumer culture thereof, I suppose. But it's a beautiful film. And then we've got Caelan Hogan, who's a writer for the New York Times, coming down to talk about it afterwards.
Oh, cool.
Then straight after that, we have Sanctuary, I believe, is the next film. This is all Friday the 8th, so it goes on between the 8th and the 10th. This coming weekend. For down in the Mermaid Theatre, or Mermaid Arts Centre, rather, in Bray. And I'll be doing a lot of talks afterwards, or rather chairing Q&As. On the Friday, Machines, and then Sanctuary, we've got the director, Len Collins, and the screenwriter, Christian O'Reilly, of Sanctuary. They'll be there to chat about it afterwards. Then
it's so good. Yeah, it's such an incredibly good film.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful film. Then on the Saturday, we'll have Twice Shy with Anna Cosgrave afterwards talking about it, which should be nice, really interesting. Then we've got Do Not Resist. I'm really excited about this one, man. You guys seen Do Not Resist at all?
Sounds familiar.
No. Do Not Resist is a really incredible film directed by a man called Craig Atkinson. And it's about the sort of insidious encroachment of the military-industrial complex into domestic policing.
Yes. So
militarization of police.
The one, yeah. I just looked it up there. It's the one that's filmed across various states.
Yeah. So it's about the militarization of the police in America, set against the backdrop of the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson in 2014. So it's sort of cutting between Ferguson and... like it really slips the viewer, sneaks the viewer inside, like pitches, sales pitches to police by effectively lad selling military hardware. Ooh, really fascinating film.
So it's just like the scene from Taxi Driver.
Yeah,
it's state funded.
Yeah, it's really, really damning, really really damning stuff. And afterwards we've got a fantastic panel for that. I'm really excited. We've got Professor Diane Negra, who's the head of the film department in UCD. And she's an international authority on race in cinema.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've also got Gavin Riley on the panel for that.
Oh,
so
cool.
Only person at the festival who's been in the same room as Trump on more than one occasion.
So that and Obama.
It should be an interesting old chat. And then
tickets are still on sale for that, right?
They sure are.
If you've been in the room with Trump more than two times, please come along and see if you can beat the record. There will be prizes. John will be giving out prizes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take Gab's spot.
At 7 on Saturday, we got Pilgrimage, which is the film with Tom Holland and John Bernthal.
Tom Holland's dad is a comedian.
Is that right?
Yeah, Dominic Holland. And his show in Edinburgh this year was just called Spider-Man's Dad.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you'd know Dominic Holland to see. I'd never put the... You'd know him. He's like a...
That's gas.
Yeah, you'd recognise him. He's just did a show about how his son's now Spider-Man.
That's really interesting. But yeah, anyway, so this is... have you guys seen Pilgrimage at all?
No, I really want to, though.
Interesting
John
film.
Bernthal and Tom
John
Holland.
Bernthal and Tom Holland. So if you're into the Marvel Cinematic Universe...
Spider-Man and the Punisher.
And the Punisher.
In pre-Christian Ireland.
Ireland, in 13th century Ireland. So very interesting sort of thriller road movie where these monks have to get this sacred relic to Rome while there's sort of this simultaneous invasion of Normans, the grey foreigners, and the Catholic Church simultaneously sort of invading the country. Really interesting film. After the screening, we've got Brendan Muldowney, who's the director of the film, and Jamie Hannigan, who's the screenwriter of the film.
Cool.
Who will both be there to have a chat about it.
Cool.
So really, and also...
When is that on?
That's on at 7 p.m. on Saturday.
So this weekend again. My opening night, I'm afraid. I hope I'll make it in.
And then on Sunday, final day of the festival, we have Eat Your Children, which is a really interesting documentary about two women, Mary Jane O'Leary and Tressa O'Brien, who left Ireland as emigres and were incensed by what they perceived to be the lack of resistance to austerity during the financial crisis.
Oh, wow.
And there's some. It starts with just this incredible footage of like Greek lads protesting running down the street with banners and stuff, chanting, "We are not Irish, we will resist."
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's really, really remarkable. And they go on this road trip through Ireland talking to various academics and theorists about
as to why we were rather passive.
Why we were passive, colonialism, Catholicism, etc., etc.
Right.
And a dissection into why that happened, why that the response was the way it was. And afterwards, we've got the director, Tressa O'Brien, and we've got Dr. Harvey O'Brien, who is the world authority on Irish documentary. Yeah. So we've got him coming down to discuss that afterwards. Mm. So that should be really, really interesting. And then finally, we've got the 25th anniversary screening of The Crying Game. To close it out.
Is that shot in Wicklow?
No, I believe it. I'm actually not sure where it was shot.
I have no idea. Is it an Irish? Is there anything Irish in it?
Stephen Ray.
Oh, yeah. It's Stephen Ray, yeah.
It's about Ra, lads.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
I knew there was an... I haven't seen it.
You know, you should check it out. It's really, really incredible.
The 25th anniversary is coming up. There's a screening
in here.
The Mermaid...
Mermaid Arts Centre in Bray. Mm-hmm. There's obviously like still really relevant issues of sectarianism and race and transgender identity and stuff like that. But then also just the general thrust of, you know, the ideological thrust of the film is like, what is our nature? You know what I mean?
That is, as a roster of films, sounds incredible.
It's good, man. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, it should be.
So I'm really excited. That's this weekend.
Cool.
This weekend coming, by all means. If you're now on and you want to see some interesting, challenging films that'll ask some questions.
Yeah, might try and get along to Pilgrimage on Saturday.
Please feel free to. You'd be more than welcome. So check it out. If you've nothing on over the weekend and you happen to be in Ireland, why not check it out?
Yeah. And then go to Connor's show next week.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's on for
and
ages.
And then come to my show next week too.
How's your show going? Any
I haven't changed it. I need to do loads of changes.
Nice.
I'm gigging tonight. It'll be 20 minutes and...
Just find... Just get your text document out. Find, replace, Edinburgh, Dublin.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Add confidence.
Yeah. Don't stop flyering. Don't bother flyering over here.
No, I'm going to... Got some good jokes I wrote over there, but they're very Irish-centric, so I'm going to have to road test them tonight in Whelan's.
There was a compilation show in Edinburgh where you and I both did jokes about bit depth
yeah.
at one show.
It was a confused audience.
To a whole load of fucking baby boomers.
Connor's got this great song that we try to get him to do every day at our Cavan the Crack show. And there was one day he got one line into it and the crowd just, it's call and response. And the first response is the easiest.
Yeah, so it's a song about file formats. I got the new song. It's all about the different kind of file formats.
It's been stuck in my head since.
It's just Frosty the Snowman. You can just listen to it if you... It isn't. It's about file formats.
So many file formats. Yep.
Which one should I choose? And so... I like, it's basically like a little quiz with the audience. I describe kind of my requirements for a file type.
Right.
And then I go, I get them to try and shout out the file extension that I'm looking for the particular job at hand.
Can we do it? Can we?
I'll give you the first one, right? The first one is, the song goes, so many file formats, which one should I choose? I wish someone could help me.
Tell you which one to use.
Yeah, so that's the chorus. There you go. I'm messing around with my phone. I've taken a photo of a hairy leg. I'm never gonna print it out. I guess I'll store it as a
JPEG.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. This audience fucking looked at me.
No. The first one they said was file format. Then Connor did the whole thing again. Then they said image file.
Oh, wow. Oh, so mad.
And then it was first two.
But then the third time, one person goes, JPEG. And I was like, yeah. And then just threw the mic on the stage and left. Like, knew that the slog was going to be hard. It was so fun.
I'm pretty sure it was one of the comics who yeah. Do you want one about...
I'd love another one.
Do you want another image, or do you want it? Would you like a sound
your
file?
Choice.
Or
your
a,
choice.
I've got lots of songs. I got to do the first part of it. So many audio formats. Which one should I choose? I wish someone could help me.
I tell you which one to use.
Okay, that was all right. I haven't got the tune down, but I'm glad you guys turned in. I want to put some songs on my phone, but space is a scarcity. I don't care much about fidelity. I guess I'm going to use an
MP3.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that, but there's like 12 more of them.
Great. And love it. It was a 1 o'clock show to almost exclusively middle-aged, middle-class retirees.
From England.
Yeah.
Well, I have had a better time than they did.
Oh, it was so much fun watching Connor do it every day.
I've had a lot of fun. I really hope the listener has as well. Connor, you had fun?
Yeah.
Will you stick around for the second episode?
Sure, yeah.
You're a champion. Thank you very, very much to our guest, Mr. Connor O'Toole. I'm sure you can find him online at Connor O'Toole.
C.HonorO'Toole.com.
C.HonorO'Toole.com. And why not check out Deadline, his upcoming show. Spaces are limited, so buy your tickets now. Mr. Yeah. Connor O'Toole, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Connor. Also with us today, we're very pleased to have him. He was the Coco to our Crash, the engineer of Sentinel Audio Productions, Mr. Rob O'Sullivan.
Goodbye, everybody.
The co-host of the show and comedian who almost couldn't be here because he was in Edinburgh. Do you want more excuses than that? There's no other reason. Mr. David Riley.
Goodbye, folks. Can I plug my show?
Oh, please, by all means.
Double Decker Bus, Dublin Fringe, sometime next week, davidriley.com.
Have you got a venue?
Yeah, Bellow Bar.
Bellow Bar. Where's Bellow Bar?
It's Portobello.
Oh, right. Very good.
I can't remember the exact date. 14th or 15th.
What a plug. I'm glad you stopped the flow of the outro to plug it without knowing the fucking date.
I feel like you're on later in the month, though. I feel like you're like the 19th to the...
No, I'm 15th to the 21st.
There you go. Check it out. My name's John Hosier Byrne. Thank you very, very much for listening. Good night.
This episode of the Stoneface Films podcast is brought to you by the fine people over at patreon.com/stonefacefilms. I first want to thank our top lads, Anna, Abby Dessert, Mandy Taylor, Terry Peterson, Therese Smout, Mike Matz, Laura Conway, and Rebecca Hieronymy. Next, the Ensigns, the Tom Parises on the USS Best Friends, Charles D. Kirkman, Megan Noble, Lucy Wilkerson, Jamie Pomerleau, Jess Angell, and Sam Sweeney Saya. Space! And a huge thank you to our Knight of the Sainsbury's car park, Sir Alice, guarding the Sainsbury's from the dangers of dragons and loiterers. And a huge thank you to my small council for when I take the throne, Luke Bruton, Shelley Umlad, Dawn Smith, and the Varus in the Shadows who wishes not to be named. Thank you so much for your continued support. And finally, a huge thank you to the stars and the constellation Aldrin's Mickey, shining above us, engorged in the heavens. Thank you to Lisa Cohen, the Goblin Child, Lizzie, John Oldman Byrne, and those who wish not to be named. Thank you so, so much for your support. We couldn't do this show without you. You guys are the best. Thank you so much. Enjoy your week.
You've been listening to the Stoneface Films podcast, hosted by John Hosier Byrne, David Riley, and Rob O'Sullivan. The show is produced by Rob O'Sullivan of Sentinel Audio Productions. You can find out more about the show, our companies, and upcoming podcasts at stonefacefilms.com and at sentinelaudio.com. Our opening theme is by Lazyitis, and all other music is by the Cooper Church Amendment. You can get involved in future shows by sending questions and messages to the Stoneface Films Twitter, at Stoneface Films. If you could take the time to rate and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher, we'd really appreciate it. We thank you all for your continued support of this podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
This show is part of the Sentinel Audio Podcast Network.